The Word of God contains both powerful history and accurate prophecy of the future of nations. Join Reverend I.T. Matura as he does an exposition of the Book of Daniel. Get ready to be empowered and equipped by the Bible lessons from the study.
Good evening, saints. Welcome to an exposition of the Book of Daniel. We are on lesson number 9. I will do an overview of chapter number 9, then we'll look at 5 lessons that we learn from this chapter. You recall in our previous lesson, lesson 8, we looked at Daniel's second vision, the vision of the ram and the he-goat, and these two animals represented kingdoms, and the kingdom of the Medo-Persians, which was the ram, and the kingdom of the Greeks, which we see one horn, which was Alexander the Great, that later is cut off, and 4 horns arise, and later a small horn arises, and it was a type of the Antichrist. This was Antiochus the 4th, who was one of the kings of the 4 kingdoms, who arises and he persecutes the Jews and causes an abomination to be done in the temple of God, where he sets up an idol and causes pigs to be sacrificed on the altar. What an abomination it was, but this was just a type and a shadow of what the Antichrist would do in the end times. So we learned a number of lessons from there concerning the history and prophecy of nations. Today we move on to lesson 9, which I've titled Daniel's Prayer for Israel and Israel's Prophetic Calendar. Verse 1 to 2, we see there in the second year of Darius. Now this is the king of the Medes. Daniel understood the prophecy of Jeremiah. What a key moment. Jeremiah had prophesied about the years of desolation, or the years of captivity that were given to Israel to judge them for their sin and for them not repenting from the worship of idols. So they are sent into captivity after having been warned by God for many years. They did not repent until the warnings came to pass and they were captured and sent into captivity. And the prophecy said they will be there for 70 years. Daniel verse 9 verse 2 says, in the first year of the reign of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books that the number of years wherefore the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. That means Jerusalem would lie desolate for 70 years before Israel or Judah could return again to Jerusalem. So Daniel had this revelation, not from a vision, not from an angel, but from reading the books or the prophecy of Jeremiah. Revelation and insight came to him. Verse 3 to 6, Daniel purposes to humble himself and to seek God on behalf of Israel. So after understanding the prophecy of 70 years and seeing where the nation was in the time calendar of God, he began to seek God and to humble himself before God. Verse 3 says, and I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer, supplication, with fasting, sackcloth and ashes. So you see that he humbled himself. In these days, when someone would humble themselves, they would take off their normal clothes and put on sackcloth. And he began to confess his own sin and confess the sin of Israel and how they've deviated from the commandments of God. Verse 5 says, we have sinned and we've committed iniquity, have done wickedly and rebelled even by departing from the precepts, from thy precepts and thy judgment. And neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake to thy name, to our kings, our princes, our fathers, to all the people of the land. So you see that from this understanding of Jeremiah's prophecy, he was moved deep to begin to seek God in prayer and to confess the sins of Israel and their rebellion. From verse 7 to 8, Daniel confesses the faithfulness of God and also the unfaithfulness of Israel. He begins to acknowledge that God was faithful and he was righteous in all that he did, and that Israel was unfaithful in all that he did, despite God's faithfulness. Verse 7 says, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces as at this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, unto all Israel that are near and that are far off throughout all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. So you see here, he is confessing the goodness and the faithfulness of God, but the unfaithfulness of Israel. Verse 9 says, to our Lord belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Verse 11 to 14, Daniel confesses the sins of Israel and acknowledges their sins have caused them to be exiled according to the word of the Lord. Verse 11 says, ye, O Israel, have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against thee. Now, if you remember, when you read the law, the Torah, Moses pronounces blessings and curses upon Israel. And he says, if you do not obey the law of the Lord fully, these curses will follow you. And some of those curses was that Israel will be banished to foreign nations, where they will be enslaved, where they will become captive, because they have not obeyed the word of the Lord and they have not followed him wholeheartedly. So here Daniel confesses that because of their sin, the curse that was spoken by the servant of the Lord has come to pass upon Israel, and they have been judged. Verse 13 says, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet we not our prayer before, we yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand the truth. So according to the pronouncement of Moses, Moses himself, who also was a prophet, so you see that Daniel also had an understanding of the message and the writings of Moses. Verse 15 to 19, Daniel pleads with God to be merciful towards Israel. So he begins now to plead. He has confessed the sins, but is now calling upon the mercy of the Lord, so that God remembers his covenant that he made with Israel as his chosen nation. Verse 19 says, and now, O Lord our God, that thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with thy mighty hand, has gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned and have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thy anger and thy fury turn away from the city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because of our sins, for our iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem, thy people, are become a reproach to all that are about us. Therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication. Cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for thy Lord's sake. O my God, incline thy ear, hear upon thy eyes, behold our desolation in the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplication before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. Verse 19, O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive, O Lord, hearken, do, defer not from thy, for thy own sake, O my God, for thy city, thy people are called by thy name. You see here a prayer of intercession, interceding and pleading with God that the mercy of God may be made manifest to Israel. Verse 20 to 23, while Daniel is praying and confessing his sins and the sins of Israel, the angel Gabriel comes to give him understanding. Verse 20 says, and while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of the people of Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touch me about the time of evening. Verse 22, and he informed me and talked to me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give this skill and understanding. So you see that when he prayed and interceded after he received revelation from the book of Jeremiah, God sends his angel now, Gabriel, the minister, the archangel of information, to come and give him understanding concerning the nation of Israel and Judah. He was interceding for Judah and the city of Jerusalem. So understanding is then brought. Then there are key verses then that come forth where the angel Gabriel begins to reveal beyond what he have asked for, because he was concerned for the nation, he was concerned for the city of Jerusalem. And verse 24 to 27, the angel Gabriel reveals the prophetic calendar of 70 weeks determined for Israel. One of the most unique and powerful prophecies in scripture that is given with days and times that is revealed to Daniel concerning the nation of Israel. And as I told you in the last lesson, that all other nations and the biblical prophecy is connected to the prophecy that relates to Israel, because Israel is the time calendar of God concerning the nations of this world. Now you see in verse 24, he said, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make a reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, to anoint the most holy. Other versions say the most holy place. Now it's important, this prophecy has caused speculations over the years and people interpreting in many ways, but it's always safe to stick with the Bible and what is in there in the context for us not to go into error. The Bible says in verse 24, 70 weeks. Other versions say the correct translation, there will be 77s. So you see that 77s have been determined for the people of God, that is the nation of Israel, and upon the holy city, and to do what? To finish their transgression, to make an end to their sin. So Daniel is interceding for Israel, and God then shows him that there has been determined a time calendar for Israel, and it is 70 weeks. Now, when you read 70 weeks, don't read it in proper weeks, because that's not weeks as in proper weeks, but these are 77s. And we see the cycle of sevens in scripture. When you go back to the Torah, to Leviticus and to Exodus, when God institutes sabbatical years, and he says to them, for 6 years you shall work the land, but the seventh year shall be a sabbatical year. So that is a group, that's a seven-year cycle. So when we look at a week, we are looking, or sevens, we are looking at 7 years. So a week is 7 years. So when we are saying 70 by seven, it is 70 by 7 years. So that gives you 490 years. So here God is saying 490 years have been determined for Israel to finish their transgression, to make an end to their sins, to make reconciliation for their iniquity, and to bring everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. Verse 25 says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, the wall, even in troublesome times. Now here again comes some other confusing scripture, but let's stick again with the scripture. And the Bible says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment, other versions say from the word to restore and to build Jerusalem. So there have been commandments that came through. The first one came through Cyrus, but that was for the rebuilding of the temple around 538 BC. Then there was another decree by Darius, but this one was to confirm the commandment or the decree of Cyrus, confirming that he had decreed for the Jews to go back and rebuild the temple of God. So you see that the exiles exiles of Judah and Jews retained in three waves. So the first retainees, or those, the first wave went with Zerubbabel, and these were responsible for rebuilding the temple. And when they started building, they built the foundation. Then they faced persecution, and for 20 years they stopped, until Haggai was sent together with Zechariah to prophesy and to encourage the people to complete the temple. They then completed in the midst of challenges and persecution. And when they are done, there is a second wave that comes with Ezra, the priest and the teacher of the law. And he comes to bring spiritual restoration and to teach the law and to institute sacrifices and to the return of daily sacrifices and proper worship and teaching of the law in Judea. But the third wave came through Nehemiah, when he went to the king in Nehemiah 1 and asked for permission to go back and rebuild the walls in the city of his fathers. Now the Bible here says, understand from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. So you see that this command came in the third wave with the wave that went with Nehemiah. This was 445 BC when this commandment was given by the king of Persia at that time, who was at Artaxerxes, and he gave the commandment for Nehemiah to go back and build the city and build the wall. And this is what the Bible is saying. Understand that from there now there will be 7 weeks, which is 7 by 7, to give you 49 years. And that is how long it took to finalize the building and the restoration of the city of God and the building of the walls. But on top of those 7 weeks are 62 weeks, which is 62 weeks. So together, 7 plus 62 is 69 weeks. So you remember that we had 70 that have been decreed. Now here it says, from the decree to rebuild Jerusalem to the coming of the Messiah, they shall be what? 69 weeks, which is 69 by 7, to give you 483 years. Now, when you calculate, there are different ways that people have calculated, and scholars debate on it. But when you calculate from those teachers that I respect and I follow, you see that when we use years according to the way the Jews calculated a year, the Jewish year was 360 days because of the Jewish calendar, which was based on the moon, the number of days that the moon goes around the earth. So you had new moon festival. So that was a 360 day year. You see that when you look at that, from the commandment to rebuild to the 483rd year, you get to around AD 32, AD 33. And these are the years that Jesus Christ appears. So you see the accuracy of prophecy with the years, from the commandment to rebuild to the appearing of the Messiah, when Jesus Christ appeared in Israel. But then it goes on to say in verse 26, after 62 weeks, the Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince shall come and shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end the war of dissolutions are determined. So you see that after the 69 weeks, the Messiah will appear but will be cut off. That is the death of Jesus Christ. Now that marked an end. When Jesus was rejected by Israel, it marked an end to the time of the Jews, or the Israel as a nation, because a few years after that, the temple was destroyed in AD 70. So you see that the time calendar of Israel stopped at 69 weeks, and that's where many people got lost. That's why when you're interpreting biblical prophets, it's not a mathematical equation. There are people who have tried to interpret the end of the world, and people who have said the world is ending on this day, and many of those, if not all of them, were lying, because The Bible actually says no one knows the day or the hour when Jesus will return. So the world will not end before Jesus comes back. So many have tried to predict and calculate things, and they were very wrong, and people were misled. So here, this is not what we are trying to do, but we see here that the Bible prophesied the coming of the Messiah accurately in the year that you'd appear and when you would be cut off. Then when he was cut off, the clock and the time calendar of Israel ceased. The temple was destroyed, but there was 1 week that was left for Israel, because 70 weeks were determined. So that 1 week is 7 years. But between that 1 week and we entered into the times of the Gentiles that the Jews had not seen. And these are the times we are in now. And these times don't have a definite period, because they are times of grace where God has shown grace to the Gentiles, and we are living now in the times of the Gentiles. If you read in the book of Luke, Jesus talks about the times of the Gentiles, and these are the times that we are in. Now, in verse 27, the final verse, he then says, "And he shall confirm his covenant with many for 1 week." Now, he is now talking about the Antichrist. The last week I was talking about in the 7 year. You remember when we did the study of the book of Revelation, we have the tribulation, which lasts 7 years. That is the 1 week, which is determined. And you see that in that 7 years, God is not dealing with the church. He's dealing with Israel, because the church has been removed by rapture. We see the church in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 of Revelation, and we don't hear of the church again when tribulation begins. That's the last week. And it says the Antichrist in the midst of the week shall cause the sacrifice and oblation of to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations you make it desolate, even to the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So in the first 3.5 years, the Antichrist will make peace and agree to protect Israel. Israel will rebuild the temple, daily sacrifice will be restored, but then he is deceiving the nations. After 3.5 years, in the middle of the 1 week, so that's 3.5 days, he will manifest himself as the beast, and he will cause the daily sacrifice to cease, and he will institute an abomination in the temple, an idol of himself for people to worship the beast. So this is what is prophesied in this scripture, in this prophecy by Daniel, that the last week, which is still to come, there's one more week that is determined for Israel and for the Jews for the completion. At the beginning, it says, for the finishing of the transgression and the end of their sins, to make reconciliation of their iniquity and to bring them to everlasting righteousness, to seal up the prophecy and the vision and to anoint the holy place. Now, let's look at 5 lessons that we learn from this chapter in this lesson. Don't worry if you don't understand what I've just been explaining in the preceding verses, previous verses. It takes time. As you meditate and meditate, God will reveal to you more and more. Never expect to understand everything in one go, but God will bring revelation and understanding. So don't worry. The first lesson is develop the habit of reading spiritual books. They will bring understanding. We see that Daniel was able to understand prophecy by reading. He says, "I understood by the books." It's very important. I myself have been helped to understand the Bible better by reading from other authors that have written and have brought clarity and understanding. It's very powerful. I've usually on biblical prophecy, Dr. Jeremiah has given me a lot of clarity. Senior Rev. C.S. Tuturu, a great teacher of the word, has brought clarity in interpretation of biblical prophecy. Very important. Bishop Colin Yat has written on the end times. So all these authors and others that I've read have brought clarity. It's important to read spiritual books, because they'll bring understanding, they'll bring revelation. Daniel was a prophet himself, but he was reading another prophet's book. It's never anything godly to think you know everything and you cannot learn from others. It's a recipe for disaster. If you want to grow and to mature in the grace, you have to learn and study from other men and women of God that have written by the revelation that God has given to them. So Daniel received understanding by reading. May you receive also understanding by reading. Number two, learn to intercede with understanding of times and seasons. When Daniel understood that the desolation of Israel was to last 70 years, he began to intercede because he was interceding with the revelation of the prophets. But it's important that even though God released the word, it calls for intercessors to arise to make sure that the word comes to pass. Even when God told Elijah that he's going to send rain, Elijah still had to go up the mountain and pray for the prophetic word to manifest. The children of Israel were told that their captivity in Egypt was to last 400 years, but it ended up lasting 430 years. There was a delay. And we need intercessors that arise when they understand times and seasons of God and intercede for the prophetic word of God on nations, on families, on churches to manifest and come forth. Number three, intercession requires the spirit of humility. When Daniel goes before the Lord, he humbles himself. He's fasting with sackcloth. He doesn't exclude himself. He says, "We have sinned." He is part of the Jewish nation. He is part of Israel. He doesn't make himself righteous and pray and say those are the ones that have sinned, but he humbles himself and he asks for mercy on behalf of the nation and on behalf of the city of Jerusalem. So intercession requires the spirit of humility. Number four, intercession should be based on the promises in the word of God. You cannot intercede if you don't know the promises of the word of God. When Daniel was interceding and asking for mercy, he was basing it on the promises that God had made in the law of Moses. And he was pleading that as God had promised and had chosen Israel as his own people, and that he is a merciful God, may God show mercy according to his word. So when we intercede based on the revelation of the word of God. It is important to have a revelation of the promises of God. It is the promises that we hold on to despite the mistakes, despite the sins, despite what has happened. We hold on to his promises that God is faithful. He watches over his word that he may perform it. In Jesus' mighty name. The last lesson we see there, the fifth one, is God has ordained a prophetic time calendar for Israel. And we see it, as I was explaining before, that he has determined 70 weeks for Israel. 69 have gone. One more week is left. Now we are living in the times of the Gentiles. And the times of the Gentiles are times of grace. It is not a determined time period, but it is a place that when you read the book of Romans, from Romans chapter 9 to around chapter 11, when he talks about the nation of Israel, how he desires that they come to the knowledge of the truth, how they have sought God, but not according to truth, but according to men's wisdom, and have not found it. And God promises and says, Israel shall be saved. And he says, if then those that have been grafted in have found favor, what more those that are the real plant or the olive trees? So there is a time that God will turn again to Israel. But for now, he has shown grace to us Gentiles. We need to maximize the time and the season we've been given to bring more and more people into the kingdom of God in these times of the Gentiles, where the church has been given authority to expand the kingdom. May you arise and save God. May you arise and be a soul winner. May you arise and expand the kingdom of God for his glory and for the glory of the name of the Lord. May you be a vessel and instrument of revival in these end times, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that the Spirit of God comes upon you and anoints you with the spirit of revelation and understanding, like the sons of Issachar, that you may know the times and you may know what to do, that you may rise up and begin to intercede with understanding, that you may be pushed by revelation into prayer, understanding times and seasons, that you intercede with the spirit of humility, that also you arise as an instrument of revival. May God anoint you. May the Spirit of God be upon you. May you be an end time warrior, carrying the power of God into the nations. In Jesus' mighty name, Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. What a wonderful time in the Word. God bless you. The lesson today is a bit longer than normal, but I believe it is a blessing to you. Listen to it again if there's something you missed, and God will give you understanding. The Spirit of God will give you revelation and insight. God bless you. Let's meet again when we look at lesson 10. Amen.
Thank you for listening and following the lesson from the Exposition of Daniel. For more Bible lessons, follow Reverend I.T. Matura on his podcast at innocentmatura.podbean.com.